Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for June 25th, 2007, episode number 32. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And my name is Joe Angry Admin Bibby.
We're back again to talk about IT culture, information technology in the workplace, gadgets at home, and anything else we can think of.
That's right.
So this week, because of the pretty much drought of relevant IT news, because we don't care about the iPhone.
Shh, don't say it.
Okay. So because of this, we're going to talk about a couple of sort of feature topics, one of which is going to be the decision to build versus buy your own PC.
Mm-hmm.
And the second will be the dreadful drought of technology-based entertainment that happens every summer.
Yes.
Which I'm very upset about. So I'll be ranting about that along with Joe.
What, are people going outside or something?
I don't know. I don't go outside.
Whatever.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll get started with our first topic. So you're looking at your computer, and you're really not happy. You can't run the latest games. You double-click an icon, and it takes forever for the thing to pop up, and you realize you need a new computer. Maybe you're infected with viruses. Maybe your grandma stayed the weekend, and she installed the whole internet, and now your computer's ruined.
Or maybe your computer just says e-machines.
At any rate, you need a new box. Now, you have some choices. You can either build one from scratch, or you can pick up the phone and call and just get one sent to your house.
Right. Dell, HP, whatever.
Yeah. So, pros and cons to each. Joe, let's start with you, and what do you think about this?
You know, this is one of those things that I go back and forth on all the time, especially with my newfound Apple fanboy status. It's like, I love that my Mac just works and I just, it's there. I don't have to fiddle with it. But then there's times where I really miss that, you know, just getting your hands in there and pulling cards out and swapping power supplies and making it, you know, super quiet or, you know, maxing out the speed. And so it's a tough call. I would say, you know, well, to start, there's a few different ways to look at it. You know, there's the cost thing, right? And after looking at building a couple custom machines for work and specking out some machines for other people recently, it seems like it's gone back to, at least in the deals I was looking at, it is cheaper to build your own again, which for a while there, it seemed like it was pretty even or maybe even a little more expensive to build your own.
Right.
So if you're just looking at money, you know, and this really does depend on what you're doing. So if you're maxing it out, like for a gaming machine,
right,
you're going to blow a ton of money and you'll spend way more probably building it yourself.
Yeah.
But just like an average home use machine, I would say it's generally you can, if you look for deals like a Newegg or that kind of thing, you're going to be able to do a better deal just building it yourself. But so, you know, I'm kind of getting into details, but I want to stay on an overview level here for a minute. So you can look at price, you can look at, you know, functionality, customizing it for your own use, which you can do some of that on the build to order items online or with Dell or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's the, what I started out talking about is, you know, do you want it to just work or do you want to fiddle with it all the time?
Right.
And I think that's probably the most important thing to think about when you're going to build a machine or just buy one. I mean, what do you think?
Okay, so my, well, let's take the past couple of machines I've built. For home, I guess mainly works, I guess we're sort of talking about home systems here.
Yeah, but I think we can get into business a little later. Let's focus on the home at first, though.
So for home, the last two PCs that I've had, I've built, been pretty happy with both. Especially my last one, because I really decided I wanted quiet, that was going to be a focus, because it was going to be a gaming machine or whatever. So I got a quality case. I got a quality Antec power supply that's nice and quiet. I got one of the Zalman flower coolers for the CPU. And then I got my brand new video card, the day I got it, I pretty much ripped it apart and put a Zalman graphics cooler on that with the heat sinks. And really, that PC is super quiet.
Yeah.
And it's by far the most wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
really,
it really approaches my Apple MacBook as far as like huggability of, oh, this is so awesome. I love it.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it just really went together. And you mentioned, you know, like, do you really want to fiddle with it? But honestly, I haven't fiddled with it. I mean, I put it together that weekend and I loaded XP Home on it and patched it up and I haven't jacked with it. I haven't reloaded the OS. I haven't swapped out any hardware. I haven't had a failed power supply or added RAM or anything. I mean,
and how long did it take you to put together?
I probably lost a weekend, really.
And did every part work the first time you got it?
Stop me if I'm lying, but I...
No, I think it did for you.
I think for me it was fine.
Yeah.
Don't recall any issues with that.
Okay. And would you consider yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 expert PC builder out of 10? Maybe an 8 or 9?
With 1 being like someone who would never even attempt
grandma.
It? With 1 being grandma and 10 being the Uber hacker, I would probably consider myself about a 5.5 or 6.
Oh, you're scaling yourself too low.
No, really. And the reason I say that is because I don't keep up with it. So every time I get ready to build, I don't know what the chipsets are. I don't know what the...
Yeah, but you know how to put a PCI card in, and you know how to take the fan off of your video card and put a new one on. I mean, you're at least an 8.
Okay.
Anyway, so what I'm getting at, and I think you already know this, is that for us, which, I mean, this is our audience, you know, building it yourself, it's fun. It's kind of part of the fun of doing it.
Right.
And I guess that's kind of what I meant with fiddling with it.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. You know, you get it, you spec out the parts, you spend weeks, figuring out what you want to do.
So not really so much maintenance, like, oh, it doesn't work.
Right. Which there can be that if you're, I mean, before I had like a good job, I would get the cheapest parts on some of them. Like, I would find the cheapest motherboard I could find with the best specs.
Right.
And those things always fail.
Right.
So you've got that to deal with. But if you're willing to spend the money, you know, yeah, it'll work great. But you still spend a lot of time specing it out. And you spend time putting it together. And
so there's wrench time.
Right. Yeah. Which isn't necessarily a negative. I'm not trying to imply that. If I did before, you know, I misconstrued myself.
I hear you.
So, yeah. I mean, it's... For the home... If you're someone listening to this podcast, almost guaranteed you will want to do it yourself and build it yourself, unless you want a Mac. And I have to say, that's really the big negative on the Mac, is that you can't build one. And for a while you could. I think it was back in like the late 90s. You know, there were some parts out there that you could get, and then they just kind of squashed those. And so that was kind of too bad.
So I guess the Mac Pro, you could swap out a graphics card.
Yeah,
you
but you're still RAM. Building it to order. I mean, it's
true.
You get it, and you can add some things to it. You can fiddle that way, and also the fiddle factor. Yes, I just said that. Kind of when you build your own, you know, there's two kind of schools of thought there. You build one, and that kind of just stays static.
Right.
Or you build one, and then every year you upgrade a part or two. Which is kind of where I was at until I built this last one. You know, I had the same case from like 96, 97 until last year. And so I was just adding boards and swapping parts.
Was that case made out of wood or what was it?
It was pretty papyrus.
Old. Oh,
yeah.
Right. It was what was it, like daubed mud and grass?
It was daubed mud and reeds, flattened reeds.
I got
put
you.
Together.
Awesome.
It was surprisingly functional.
Although quite dusty inside.
Yes, it did. Had some bug issues too.
Ants lived in it. Yeah.
But I mean, you get my point where,
right,
you know,
right.
you spend, you know, some good money on a case and you can keep it for a while if you wanted to.
So this is another question that a lot of people have always had is, you know, when they're ready for something new, do they just upgrade the heart of their system? Like new CPU, new graphics card, add RAM, and then continue on with what they have. Typically, I have not.
Right.
I've just sort of partitioned off the old PC and said, I mean, right now, the kind of the state I'm in is I keep two. I have my MacBook as my laptop, and then I have two PCs because I like Windows, whatever. But I like Mac too.
Yeah.
But I keep my two fastest PCs up and running,
mm-hmm.
but I don't cannibalize the old one to build the new one.
Yeah,
usually.
Right.
Now, there's maybe a chance if the old one has two CD-ROMs in it, I might pull one out.
Mm-hmm.
But the RAM and all that, and you know the CPUs and the yada yada, I'm going to leave that behind and then go to something new.
Well, and if you wait more than a year, that's almost going to be what you're going to have to do, because right. the only thing really that's going to transfer is maybe the hard drive.
Right.
Although the switch to serial ATA kind of negated that, really. Mm-hmm. But like RAM, processor, and board. If you replace your board, you're going to have to replace your RAM, and you're going to have to replace your processor, almost right. guaranteed.
Right.
So, you know, kind of what I would do is I would get like, you know, almost bleeding edge board with like kind of an older processor that still fit into it, mm-hmm. and then I would upgrade my processor later. Mm-hmm. I would add more RAM later. I would upgrade my hard drive later and just kind of piecemeal, and you know, added the DVD burner when that came out. And,
right.
But then I went about 2 years without upgrading.
Right.
And then it was like, well, I'm almost gonna have to upgrade everything.
I mean, yeah.
I kept my DVD burner, and I kept, that's right, kids, the floppy drive.
Well, you know, TomsHardware.com had a great write-up probably a year or two ago about motherboards.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they found was the cheaper motherboards from a quality company. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a choice between, say, a Gigabyte motherboard or an Asus,
mm-hmm.
their $70 motherboard works just as good as their
right.
$270 yeah. motherboard. It's just how much features do you want to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So this last time, I really scaled back my motherboard, and it's performed flawless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my only regret is I don't have onboard FireWire,
mm-hmm.
but I can add that for $30.
Sure.
You know, but I spent more on RAM, CPU, power supply, and then I scaled back on that motherboard cost, and I haven't been sorry at all.
Yeah, well, and you know, I mean, I kind of went middle of the road. I didn't go like kind of low. I went middle, I would say, maybe a little high middle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't use most of those features. I mean,
right.
you know, I finally switched to an onboard audio card, and I've been happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think you have that too. But
yeah,
so that comes with all even the low end boards now. But like, I have like a bunch of FireWire ports and a bunch of USB ports, and I'm only using like a couple of them.
Yeah,
so
it's but like, it's there you know, if you want it.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is, I think your point is well taken in that the chipsets are pretty much the same, and then it's just how many features they enable.
Right.
Whereas I don't think that necessarily was the case for
Do you recently. Need redundant BIOS?
Right.
You know, things like that.
Or like onboard RAID. Do I really need RAID on my home PC? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to mess with it, and I did it once, but eh. I just need a backup drive. I don't need RAID.
Right.
So
that's building. So
right.
let's move on to buying, pros and cons buying.
Right.
So I'm going to say if people come to me at work and say, should I build one or should I buy one? With only a couple of exceptions of all mm-hmm. the people I know, I'm going to tell them to buy.
Yes.
Because if I tell them to build, I'm obligating myself to help them iron mm-hmm. out all their problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Dell.com,
yeah.
Apple.com, you know, whatever. If they do build, there's some customization they can do, especially
sure.
like Dell.
I
mean,
sure.
they
yeah,
let you
go in there and customize it.
You know, tweak it out kind of pretty much the way you want. You're going to get your operating system cheaper,
yes,
I would say, versus just buying it.
Though at the local Fry's, you can actually get OEM Windows XP for the OEM. It's still a little cheaper with like Dell,
mm-hmm.
but you know that's actually a nice little feature. You can get them online sometimes too, but I've had those like they come and then the key doesn't work.
See, I've been guilty of not doing my homework on that and just buying the retail box and then paying through the nose.
Yeah, which is really expensive.
Because I have 3 licenses for XP Home.
Mm.
And they were all $99, so
man,
yeah,
painful.
It's painful to do that, especially with the what Vista costs if you want to go to
Seriously.
Vista. So yeah, so you're gonna get the you know the benefits of scale of
right.
Dell. So
right.
you're gonna have a cheaper OS. You're gonna get a warranty
mm-hmm.
with your stuff,
which is very good, and tech support.
Right, which is kind of a comfort factor, but. When you pick up the phone to call tech support,
right.
then that's when you're yeah. going to start hurting.
Yeah, and it didn't used to be that way, but you know, in the last five to 7 years, it's been down
yeah.
the tubes.
So whoever you talk to is probably going to drive you nuts. But anyway, that's a whole nother topic for another podcast.
Right.
Outsource tech support. But so yeah, so that you're going to save some money in some places there. Cons to buying.
Cons, I would say the big con is. Well, on a high-end system, I would say the con is price. On a low-end system, price is actually a benefit because you can get those, $4.99 mm-hmm. crazy deals from Dell or whatever.
Right.
But another con is upgradability.
Yes.
You know, I think it's becoming less the case, but I know a few years back with the Dell, if you tried to upgrade to a different case and put that motherboard in there and then put a different power supply in, it wouldn't work because they had a custom pinout on their power supply. Mm. Their switches on the board that connected to like the power switch on the board on the case were custom. Right. It's like a custom block, and you know, you can get around some of that stuff, but do you really want to mess with it for this old Dell board you're upgrading? And,
right.
You know, things like that.
I remember back in the early 90s or mid 90s when Gateway 2000, mm. back when they were called Gateway 2000.
Right.
2000. You know, Dell wasn't even, no one had even heard of a Dell at this mm. point. Gateway was pretty much the Tyrannosaurus Rex of home PCs.
Right.
And they had some decent prices. Generally, you were spending between $2,000 and $2,400 for a decent home system.
Yeah.
For kind of middle of the road to little, maybe upper tier. And the thing was, you would get that PC, and if you wanted to upgrade it later, you'd be sort of stuck.
Yeah.
Because they would have sold you, you know, the fastest processor that would fit in that motherboard. Mm-hmm. So you had exactly. no upgrade path there. Or the RAM slots are all maxed out. Or yeah. like you're saying, something is proprietary and you can't get around it. They mm-hmm. had crazy, you know, the internal modem cards would only work on certain IRQs. And I just mm-hmm. remember really fighting with them.
Yeah, and I would say that's still a lot of the case.
Right. So, everything. Yeah, that's, I mean, if you buy a Dell today, what are the chances are that an off-the-shelf power supply is going to fit in that case?
Yeah, I don't know. I would still say slim, although I can't verify
maybe. That. Maybe. I mean, I haven't really tried to swap any out, so.
Now, I would say that's only for the home use that a lot of that applies. Like the business class workstations, you know, from HP and Dell, mm-hmm. those, a lot of times, unless you order them maxed out, you know, they'll have an empty RAM slot. They'll have the extra cables or the slots for the hard drives because it's a very different game when it comes to business. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want that warranty with a business PC, and a lot of times the business class ones come with a 3-year warranty instead of just a 1-year. But anyway, that's kind of a side topic.
Yeah. So support on, you know, if you buy one, support's going to be crappy. Mm-hmm. If you build one, support is going to be you.
Right.
You know, so there's that. I don't know. And then I guess the other thing is, I mean, if you build, there's kind of a sense of pride there.
Oh, yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, it's like, this is mine. I made it the way I want mm-hmm. it. I'm happy with
it's
it.
It's like customizing a car, you know. It's just, you're a little bit different than everybody else with the, you know, beige box or the Dell.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like, I mean, I'm not going to go this far with it, but kind of like in the 50s and 60s, you know, when the hot rod culture, mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of have that now with PCs.
Yeah.
And really maybe not quite to the extent as it once was.
It seems to have faded a little, and I'm not sure why that is.
I think basically what's happening, my guess there, is that the consoles are becoming so powerful that the class, that the target audience that was modding PCs mm-hmm. has now kind of given up on that and is mm-hmm. now just playing consoles.
Right.
You know, using consoles for that. And they're not, you know, the modding of the consoles, you know, the next gen consoles really don't lend themselves to modding as mm-hmm. much as like the original Xbox.
Yeah, you see some efforts out there, but.
But, I mean, the days of putting neon in your computer case mm-hmm. and, you know, taking it to LAN parties, I mean, and that stuff still exists and that stuff is still fun, but there's not as much of it, I would say, going mm-hmm. on these days.
I mean, I guess it could just be us getting older.
Maybe all that stuff is still happening and we're just not being invited to those
parties.
Are
you kids out there? Are you still doing that crazy stuff?
You kids get off my LAN. Yeah, I don't know.
But so just real quick, I mean, home PC, if you know anything, just build one. It's fun. You'll get some experience.
Buy quality parts. You won't be disappointed.
But if you're listening to this, you probably already know that. But, you know, there's definitely some benefits to buying one still. And don't get caught up with your pride just to build your own. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the benefits and just make sure that's what you want to do.
And look at your numbers, too. Because if you're coming in within $20 of what it costs to buy one, mm-hmm. and it's not for you, it's for your mom who doesn't care.
Exactly.
You know, then if she's not, doesn't have a problem with it, buy.
And for business, you know, I would have a hard time recommending anyone build a PC for business unless it's for like a special customized situation. For everyday business use, I mean, buying is just, it's the way to go. You can get that. One of the biggest reasons I would say in business to buy there's the 3-year warranty, but because of that 3-year warranty, you can also still get those parts for right. 3 years.
Right.
And sometimes even longer. And that's such a critical thing in business because businesses aren't going to upgrade their PCs every year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 3 years, 5 years, you know, something like that.
So yeah, we've been just bringing in like a lot of similarly configured systems and then just modding those, adding pieces as necessary to tweak them for each user. Mm-hmm. So,
and that seems to be the way to go because you keep that back support just in case you have a total failure and you need to get the parts switched out fast.
Right. And if you've never built one, give it a shot.
Definitely give it a shot if you haven't ever built one. It's very fun. I mean, that's how I got started, you know? So go for it.
Cool. Man, I can't believe that. So like all last week, I worked, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 hour days trying to get this new network segment up.
Right.
And it was supposed to be ready on Friday. So Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, I'm there. And we're being audited by the IT security auditors.
Right, so not only are you working on this major project, but you're trying to work through a security audit at the same time.
So I'm trying to be nice to the auditors and friendly. You want some Coke? You want some coffee? Can I get gum? Yes. You know, can I like...
Please don't turn off my systems.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be nice and trying to be helpful without divulging enough to get myself in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so I'm dealing with that during the day, and then I'm doing all this networking at night. It's probably like 1,000-foot run of cable underneath offices, underneath hallways, through hangars, through walls, underneath a road, you know, and it's just hot. I'm sweating. It's the middle of the night. I'm out there stomping in the mud behind these buildings.
Right.
And the security guys are driving by, and I'm just like, I mean, there's one time when the security truck drove by, and I was like, had the cable in my hands. I'm dripping sweat. I look like a scrounged dog. I have mud all on me. And I just have this picture in my head of what the security guard must think if he sees me in the dark between the buildings with a cable and I look like scroungy.
Scrounged up. Yeah. So,
and it's like, okay, what can I do to not look suspicious? I can either dive back out into the lights, you know, to make it look like, oh, I'm not trying to hide. Look, here I am. But maybe if he hasn't already seen me, then I could just get away with it. Just like, so I kind of like did the whole like, white-tailed deer thing where I just like totally froze and he drove by. So
yeah, that didn't look suspicious.
I don't know.
mid movement. Freeze.
It's like when you catch your spouse, you know, raiding the fridge at 2 a.m.
Right, you're like,
you turn on the light and there's like a cookie in their mouth, you know.
You're like,
That's what I was all about.
What's up?
You know, it's just the so I got the canopy, the backhaul dishes.
Yeah.
I got those aligned, and I did the end-to-end test, and everything was working. So I ran all that cable with some help, I had to admit.
Yeah.
But
none from me, though.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for nothing.
I had my own problems to deal with.
Yeah. But none of it got pinched. None of it got cut, you know, and luckily we had those crimpers, the easy crimpers.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, so it all worked. I worked all week. I worked all these nights. And then Friday comes, and they're supposed to do this demo using this network link. And they never did the demo. So no phone call, no explanation, no rescheduling. It just didn't happen.
So did that make you angry?
So, you know, I was too tired to be angry. I was just like, use it, don't use it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I win because I got it done, and I didn't think I could. So I got through all the red tape, all the physical barriers, you know, the barriers of my own laziness.
Mm-hmm.
It was all overcome. And then if they don't use it, I don't care because I know I was victorious.
Nice.
And they still suck. So that was my week. What about you? What were you dealing with?
Well, I had to make lots and lots of phone calls to try to. We're on this new network, and we're having some weird issues that nobody seems to think is their fault. So I'm talking to four different divisions, and they're all blaming each other. So finally, I just called every single one of them and said, "Look, everybody's blaming you," and said that to all of them. And then finally, they all got so mad at each other that they started talking to each other instead of just to me.
That's sweet.
So it's like I just had to
So you did
poke
like the
a stick
whole,
in the bee's nest.
So you did like the whole good cop, bad cop, where they round up all the kids from the town and they put them in separate rooms, and then they go to the first guy and they said, "Your friend's already ratted you out. It's time to cut a deal."
Except I wasn't lying, because they were all ratting each other out, blaming each other.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, so that was a pain. That took a few days to take care of. And finally wrapping up getting the room set up so I can actually start working on some IT-related issues again. I'm so sick of dealing with furniture and...
You're just stuck in all these facility issues.
Well, yeah, it's the facilities black hole where you call them and email them and they don't do anything back.
Yeah. Well, every time I come to your lab, it looks nicer though.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there, but
it's almost because it's like the first time I saw it, it was like stuck in 1962, and like every time I come to visit, it like moves forward like 8 years.
Yeah.
So you're
well, you see it and, you know, it takes you a week and then you see it or 2 weeks go by, but I'm like seeing it one micro inch at a time.
Right. So it's not as impressive for you.
But we're getting there, you know, people are actually starting to be able to get some work done. So
that's cool. Know. Well, it's the summertime once again. Time for baseball, hot dogs, mosquitoes, sunburns, trips to the beach, unless you're me, and I don't do any of that stuff. What I want is awesome video games, awesome movies on the big screen, awesome shows on my television to capture on my DVR.
That's right, on your high-def DVR.
Yes.
P-I-M-P.
That's right. But is there any of that? No. Because the powers that be don't have a clue. All my shows are in reruns. All the movies that are out at the big screen suck.
You mean you don't watch So You Think You Can Dance?
No, I don't watch that. For me, it's like,
you must not
So be. You Think You Can Take a Nap? Yes, I do, and I take a nap. But, it's just like, the movies are bad. All the video games, they wait and release them at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, so let's start with movies.
Yeah.
They're bad. They're like real bad right now. I was so excited about this summer. Oh my gosh. We're going to have Pirates 3. We're going to have Spider-Man 3. It's going to be awesome.
It's the summer of sequels.
It's the summer of sequels, you know, and they're all going to be good and big budget and like...
They're all big budget.
Well, yeah. So like, okay, so like you saw Pirates.
Yeah, I did. Man, I don't even know where to begin.
I think that was the director's problem too.
He just didn't know where to end.
He didn't know where to stop.
You know, it was good. I mean, the special effects, they were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than Part 2.
Right.
I mean, Part 2, I abhorred Part 2. I mean, I left the theater and I wanted to just get a refund and, like, throw my popcorn up on the seat because it was just terrible.
Right.
The third one is a little better.
Okay.
But better than, like... Negative
is still not good.
Negative.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can see it for free, go see it. It's just, it's entertaining, but I had to basically just turn off all of my movie critic abilities in my brain and just sit back and try to enjoy my $8.50.
Right.
Because
I hear you.
Otherwise, I would just die.
Yeah. And you saw Spider-Man 3, right?
I haven't seen Spider-Man 3, but you have, right?
So I have seen Spider-Man 3 in the theater.
Yes.
And aside from my rant about idiots with cell phones in theaters, and by the way, if you're a listener of our show and your cell phone rings in theaters all the time, or if you talk, don't ever listen to our show again because you are banished.
That's correct. You are banished.
Even though if one person leaves, half of our listeners might disappear.
We're going to discover your IP, block you, and then install a Trojan on there so that your speakers... constantly ring like a cell phone.
Right.
So watch out.
So don't do that. So anyway, on to the movie. So there's like a lot of... It kind of has the same problem that I guess Pirates had. It's like so many subplots, so many characters. You have trouble caring about any of them. You know, and everyone has like 10 minutes of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... They're going in places that... They're just not a cohesive, packaged... you know, 2 hour chunk of entertainment anymore. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, you kind of meander through some stories and blah, blah, blah. And the effects were good. And there's some funny moments and there's a few cool fight scenes. And then it just didn't deliver.
Well, you know? I mean, I don't know about Spider-Man 3, but Pirates 3, it's just like they tried to go so big. I mean, there was this eternal battle where these two ships are going down into this whirlpool, yet somehow for 20 minutes they're staying in the same location, spinning around, killing each other.
All right.
Okay, it's a sailboat. What?
Yeah, I guess I can see that. And then what else was big this summer that kind of flopped out? So Ocean's 13 is out now.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't heard anything good.
I've heard some good and some bad.
I like the first one. I didn't really think the second one was anything great. But
so Fantastic Four, yeah. Part 2 part is one out. Was...
There's no way I will see the part 2.
So that's the horribleness of movies. Right, yeah. They're getting so expensive that no money's being spent on making them entertaining.
But what about games? There's been some decent games coming out.
So, yeah, here's the thing. Here's my gripe about games. They pretty much quit E3. Mm-hmm. So E3 really doesn't happen. So you don't have this sort of sneak peek of, ooh, let's get excited. This is what's coming in. I mean, I know E3 still exists in some form, but not like the old days. So all these game developers sit on their games because they want to come out November for the Christmas shopping season.
Right.
Well, that's great. Except for the end of November and December, people don't have any money because they're Christmas shopping.
Right.
You know? And I mean, if they have a choice, they're not going to be buying consoles and a ton of games. They're going to buy what they have to buy first, and then if they have any money left over, then they're going to get a game. But in the summer, people have money. People have time. Mm-hmm. Kids are out of school. They're sitting on the couch. There's your target audience right there. Bored summer kids in Houston, Texas, where it is too hot to go outside or you get roasted like a chicken in like 5 seconds.
That's very true.
So, yeah. I have a big, big problem with this whole, like, sitting on games. And then they all come out at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you're making choices between, well, you know, I've got about $200 to spend. Am I going to buy this awesome game or that awesome game? You have to make a choice.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and then you feel like you're missing out because if you buy them all, then you're only playing part of them part of the time. Mm-hmm. And
well, here's what you can do. When they announce the game, put $10 in the bank. By the time the game comes out, the interest will have grown so much because they're announcing games so early now.
Right.
So have you heard the latest? Spore?
Yes.
Delayed until 2008?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it.
I mean, if I had put money, I could be a millionaire if I had deposited $10 in the bank when it was released, when it was announced.
And that was like the only game that could really save the PC gaming doldrums. Because it's like you're either playing World of Warcraft, which you're burnt out on, or you're playing nothing.
What? What about Lord of the Rings Online, man?
Well, no, I demoed it. It's fine. But
yeah. No, well, yeah, but are you going to play that? Or are you going to play, you know, your 360?
Yeah.
With what? Forza 2?
Yeah, Forza 2 is pretty off the hook, I have to admit. So there is something coming out. So there's Forza 2. We got Dirt coming out. Mass Effect, I think, got delayed. And Bioshock's coming. So that's game. So, I mean, there are a few in the summer, but not the great titles that we're really
right.
Yeah. And then there's television. So, I mean, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all in reruns right now. Everything that I care about is not... It's just... I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I won't admit to some of the shows I'm watching right now. But I'm limited to over the air right now.
But see, you're married, so you can always say, well, my wife's watching it.
That's it.
Yeah, I didn't have any. She has the remote.
Although, I have to say, and we'll probably be talking about this on upcoming episodes, but I'm getting U-verse, which if you don't know what that is, it's AT&T's IPTV thing, which is going to be pretty sweet. It's IT goodness.
Okay.
But we'll save that for later.
Okay, yeah. Once we get it.
Yeah, once I get it and I'm disappointed, then I can rant about it.
Okay, I got you. So, for whatever reasons, you know, it's just, this happens every summer. You know, the games are being held back. The TVs are in reruns. The summer blockbusters are not delivering. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know, this is just a horrible time of the year to really like digital entertainment.
Yeah.
So, the only thing I can do is just read a book. Analog.
Or.
The shame of it all.
You know, go outside.
Nah, it's too hot.
It is too hot here. You're right.
Luckily, I keep breaking my car, so I can always just keep
there you go.
Breaking my car and
keep trying breaking to... your car, fixing those rattles.
Yeah. All right, everybody, time to wake up because the show is over.
Ba-dow.
That wraps up episode number 32 of Angry Admins Podcast. As always, feel free to check out our website at angryadmins.com. We have forums out there at, here we go, I'm going to get it right this week, angryadmins.com/forum.
Oh!
Round of applause, yes. I even know our own website. So that's that. Yeah, email us, stream us from the website, or we're also on iTunes. But until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
There was a dramatic pause in there.
That's right.
We'll see you guys next week.
Stay angry.